You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
Thursday, 20 November. We've got U.S. unemployment data this afternoon. If they can get it together, expected, no change, 4.3%. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kieran Whitten from Anchor. So the hugely anticipated NVIDIA results came out after market close. We'll touch on those. And then I'll ask him a quick question. So I'll see the listing, the IPO closes today. Tertia Jacobs from Investec. October inflation came in at a 13-month high, but we've got MPC later today. Do they cut? And then we in chatting with Standard Bank, they've got an AI structured product going to market. This podcast is brought to you by StanLib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. Standard Bank takes travel airport lounge fight to FNB. Details of discounts, criteria and thresholds are explained. Bloomberg, U.S. trade deficit narrowed in August after tariffs set in. Value of U.S. imports decreased 5.1% in August, the most in 4 months. Morning markets, the U.S. was green, S&P 0.4% higher, Nasdaq a little over 0.5% higher. The East is mostly green. We've got Sydney up almost 1%. Turkey is over 3% higher. The new prime minister was saying things last night that excited the market. Hong Kong is a 0.3% higher, Tencent almost 1% in the red. Commodities, mostly red. Gold futures, 4,070. Brent, 6,370. Platinum is the only green at 1,561. And palladium, 1,409. The rand is 1,720. Bitcoin, 92,400. And top 40 opening call, expecting a green open, 750 points, 0.7% higher.
MoneyWeb Now, on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Kieran Whitten from Anchor. Kieran, appreciate the early morning. NVIDIA, as I said in the intro there, I mean, it felt like the entire stock market is resting on those NVIDIA results, which in of itself is frankly a little bit spooky. But I suppose the key point is that, I mean, the market got the revenue beats they expected. Revenue $57 billion, expected was $55. EPS was a little bit higher. And maybe the really big one was the forecast, which they bumped that as well. The stock's up 5% in aftermarket. This, perhaps we've lived to fight another day in a sense.
Good morning, Simon. It truly is unbelievable how this entire sort of AI trade and by extension, the US stock market is pretty much revolving around one story at the moment. And it is scary. And it's unlike anything we've actually seen before, at least in the sort of immediate history. I mean, even in the dot-com bubble, there was sort of a range of stocks that you could say were part of that bubble forming. But, you know, this is the true growth engine, and the markets was depending on this one stock before the result. It was like a Super Bowl blockbuster event. It really was crazy how everyone was just talking about it, and the anticipation is just crazy. And I do think, Simon, you know, that's obviously NVIDIA did beat and raise yet again.
Yeah.
And I think that was what I was expecting. It's what everyone in the office was expecting. But Simon, like you're saying, it's scary because there's no evidence or signs that this could happen. But an NVIDIA miss in a quarter could honestly send this AI trade tumbling and the entire stock market with it. But like I say, no evidence of that quite yet. It is the foundation of what demand is going to look like in this AI revolution. And each quarter, I think, does now strengthen and reinforce this thesis, which I think does lower the risk incrementally each quarter that, you know, people gain confidence that this is the real deal. I think interesting as well, Jensen Huang before the results didn't seem too stressed from what I saw. He was in the White House. He was having a good time. And he said last night, interestingly, that from his point of view, there's been a lot of talk about an AI bubble, but from their vantage point, they see something completely different. And I must say, Simon, I do sit in that camp. I think that we are in this early stages of this AI infrastructure rollout.
Yeah.
And for now, the party rolls on.
it does, and I mean, I give you two astounding facts. Their forecast includes zero China, and Nvidia's net income exceeds Intel and AMD sales. I mean, it at some point, I suppose they missed, but this was not it. I suppose we all come back again in 3 months. But the short version is, don't bet against Nvidia. They are absolutely killing it out there. Let's take a quick change of tack. Celsius listing next week. IPO closes today. Have you and your colleagues had a look over the prospectus? Have you got thoughts on the Celsius IPO?
Yes, Simon, and it's been quite unloved, I would say. Its initial valuation that the market was thinking it would come out with after the IPO was more around 30 billion, and that's decreased quite significantly. It's actually more than half. But we do think when the dust settles, that Celsius is going to be left with quite a clean balance sheet. Mm-hmm. And it's actually quite a differentiated growth story in this telecoms sector. And it's also got pretty low capital intensity compared to, you know, the MTNs and the Vodacoms. And that is because it obviously roams on MTN and Vodacom's network. And the growth is backed up largely by Capitec Connect, which is the fastest growing operator in the country. And yeah, so investors are obviously very cautious at the moment, but we think that is a bit overdone. There are obviously definitely risks in this, but we do think the upside potential definitely outweighs the downside potential from where we think it's going to list. Mm-hmm. We are sort of cautious that it could just be a very unloved share by the market if things go a bit sour after the IPO. But like I said, I think it's going to come out on a PE of about 5 to 6. And given that growth in Capitec Connect and the low capital intensity, it is a share that we'll be taking part of in the IPO for a number of mandates.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, that's a really, really low PE. And essentially, you're hitching your wagon to Capitec. And, well, that's been a good place to hitch your wagon for forever and a day. We'll leave that there. Kieran Whitten from Anchor, always appreciate the early morning time. The Standard Flexible Income Fund is designed for pre- and post-retirement income and capital preservation needs. Retire without regret with Stanlib Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now, on the money.
Chatting with Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist and Fixed Income Specialist at Investec. Tertia, appreciate the time. South Africa's inflation for October, 3.6%, highest in just over a year. Core inflation much better at 3.1%. What did you make from the numbers for October?
So I think the first thing is, Simon, that October is a low survey month, so there were not major movements that could have driven the inflation rate higher. So the focus was more on, you know, volatility drivers such as food and fuel prices. And in the food sector, we saw prices remaining unchanged over the month, with the year-on-year coming down now to sub 4%. And then in the oil price story, there was a small decline in the petrol price, but base effects were more pronounced, and that was actually why that we saw a slight acceleration on headline inflation. But generally, I think the key takeaway is that inflation is very contained at this point in time.
We've got the MPC, the announcement at 3 p.m. We've now got the official new inflation target. The governor had said they were anchoring at 3%. The minister's now said 3% is the number, 1% either side. Do they have space to cut at the meeting?
You know, I think that's what we're all wondering. And you'll see that the consensus forecast is for a 25 basis point rate cut. So the way that I will look at it is the announcement or the backing up of the inflation target by the Minister of Finance gives more credibility to this lower inflation target, very important for inflation expectations. So I think that is a plus. Number two is when you look at the stance of monetary policy, you know, the difference between your repo rate and your current inflation rate is still mildly restrictive. So even though inflation has entered like a moderate increase, I do think there is scope to cut.
It leads us, I mean, certainly you mentioned it is the new regime, it is now official. My sense is that if we call the band 2 to 4%, there doesn't seem to be any much risk of going above that 4%.
So that's a very important question. And this is what we're going to monitor during the course of next year. Because at the moment, you know, when you look at the inflation trajectory, you know, for the first half of the year, our forecast suggests inflation can perhaps stay just under 4%. But I think it's where is inflation heading in the second half of, like the Reserve Bank is looking at about 3.2%. And I think this is where the big drivers of inflation will become quite important. You know, will the rand remain robust? What's going to happen to rental inflation? Because, you know, we consumer spending has also helped to contain that. So if there's a cyclical upswing in the economy, what will happen? I think positives are, you know, food price inflation can remain relatively contained. Mm-hmm. But I think it's some of the services price inflation that will become more important.
You mentioned rand there as well, and of course the oil as well. I mean, it's undoubtedly an important component of our inflation basket. It is transport. It disproportionately impacts lower income individuals because they spend more on transport. But it's not something we can control, but the MPC needs to keep an eye on it. That's a tricky balancing. Or do they just say, we can't control it, but if it gets too high, we need to manage it?
Yes, I think that's a very important dynamic, and that's where it could feed into the Reserve Bank's balance of risk assessment. So they have assumptions about the oil price. I think they may use the Brent spot forward curve, and that's obviously influenced by demand and supply and all kinds of research. So depending then on how the oil price moves, influence that expectation. Of course, sometimes, you know, we get huge monthly movements with the rand or the refined oil price that can lead to, you know, a short-term rise or fall in the oil price. Mm-hmm. But for a longer term, they keep an eye on the dollar projection.
A last question. My sense is, I mean, the medium-term budget policy statement of last week where the minister says 3% with that 1% on either side, this really is a fairly significant policy change for South Africa and does mean that, you know, notwithstanding there are going to be some shocks from time to time, we are entering a different inflation environment where, you know, 6% never used to bother us. Now it's going to be 3%, which is a whole different mind shift for an economy.
I think so. And, you know, the takeaways is that a lower inflation aligns us more with our peers and other big training partners because our inflation target has been relatively high, whereas many other EM around about 3%. But the important point is then how it feeds through, you know, to expectations and price formation.
Yeah, and particularly around salary expectations, that perhaps is going to be the bigger challenge. We'll leave it there. It's Tertia Jacobs, Treasury Economist, Fixed Income Specialist, Investec. Appreciate the time. And that's our poll today, LinkedIn and Twitter. Consensus is for a 0.25% cut at this afternoon, announcement at 3 p.m. Do you think they will cut? Maybe, I mean, we would actually probably prefer 0.5%, but have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. Give your money the return at once without taking a flight with the Stanlib Global Select Fund, an offshore equity fund submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting with Jono Bowling now at CIB Global Markets Retail at the Standard Bank Group. Jono, appreciate the early morning. You've got a AI structured auto call coming out. I want to dig into some of the details. As I understand it, it's linked to the two ETFs, the QQQ, which is obviously the NASDAQ. I think everyone knows that one. It's also linked to another, the KWEB. Talk to me about the second ETF and what its underlying is.
Morning, Simon, and morning, viewers. I hope you're all well this morning. Yes, KWEB is essentially called CraneShares CSI China ETF. It basically tracks companies, the big solid Chinese companies like Tencent, Alibaba, Meituan, JD, so all those big names in China. And essentially, that's the reference there. So we've got two ETFs that we reference. It's an auto call, like you say. Do you want me just to take you through the auto call and how it works?
So talk to us around that auto call feature, because that's an interesting part of the process.
Yeah. So essentially, it's a five-year product. Essentially, the difference with this auto call is it starts calling in year one. Mm-hmm. So those two reference assets, the Triple Q and the KWEB, are essentially, say for instance, we trade them at $100 each.
Yeah.
And at the end of year one, if both of them are flat or positive, so they're both up from where we traded them. Mm-hmm. So say, for instance, we traded them $100. They're now $110 and $105. We take the worst performing of the two. It's a terrible name, worst of order call, but essentially we take the worst of the two, and essentially the product calls. The client gets their 16% return. The client can then obviously roll their investment, where we reprice the investment as long as it stays in the same product. So the two reference assets that we have. And essentially, the clients can then roll and defer, their CGT liability in this product for another 5-year order call. If it's negative, if one of them are negative, it rolls to year two. Year two, the same rules apply, and you get 16 times two, which is 32%, and so on and so on and so on until we get to the 5th year. So you've got five times for this. For this product to call over the 5-year period, for these two ETFs to be flat or positive. So you have got a lot of opportunities over the life of the product for this product to call. We see 16% as a really good rate above current money market rates that you're getting in the market with the interest rate cutting cycle, and hence why we came up with this product at this time. And obviously, AI being a very exciting thematic.
Yeah, and we were chatting earlier on the show, Nvidia knocking it out the park last night. And I like that. So if it gets called, I can roll. There's also a capital protection, 100%
Correct.
Protection, unless
No.
we're down at 30% at maturity.
Correct. We got what we call a 70% knock-in barrier. It's only on the 5th year, and obviously, as long as the worst performing of the two ETFs is not down more than 30%, your capital is protected. But that being said, it's got 5 years for that to that to happen.
And on your other structured products you've had, you've offered daily liquidity. In an ideal world, this is a product which I hold until it either calls or matures. But sometimes the world
Correct.
Is not ideal. There will be daily liquidity in the market if I need to get out early.
Yes, that's correct. So all of our structured products that we create, essentially they are basically listed on the JSE, and essentially you could just get a price from our derivative desk, and we can sort you out with a price if you do need to get out of the product due to unforeseen circumstances.
And one of the key things with structured products, there are of course costs involved. That's not unexpected. The key point is the costs are built in. If I put in, I don't know,
Correct.
50K, I get referenced at 50,000, and that essentially includes the fees.
That's correct. Yeah, in all of our structured products, the nice benefit of it is that the fees are all built into the price of the product. Client gets 100% capital allocation. So if they put in 100 grand, you don't get 98 grand allocation, you get 100 grand allocation. And that's the benefit of our structured products. So very easy to understand.
When does it close? What are minimum investments?
Sure. So minimums are 25,000 rand. We close on the 3rd of December. And we trade on the 10th of December.
Okay. And how do I mean, how do, if someone, how do we find it? I mean, this is, they go to their stockbroker, I imagine, or do they come direct to you?
Correct. They can either or. So obviously they can approach the Standard Bank Online Share Trading, or they can approach their relevant broker, as long as the registered broker has got an agreement with us. Most big brokers out there have got agreements with us, so they can utilize this product using their own broker.
We'll leave it there. That's the Centrebank AI structured note, referencing the QQQ, which is a Nasdaq, and then KWEB, which is kind of like a Chinese Nasdaq, I suppose, in a sense. That's John Bowling, CIB Global Markets Retail at the Standard Bank Group. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We were chatting with Chantal Marks yesterday. We're talking the strong coronation results, rising markets lift earnings. And of course, we had seen that early in the week with 91 numbers as well. We asked if you were holding asset managers. 10% of you said no, you had missed it. The rest were split between, yep, doing great and preferring other solutions. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website's in the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. If you're loving the show, please leave us a positive rating and an awesome review in your podcatcher of choice. We'll chat again tomorrow, managing market behavior.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.